Don't worry about my major in psychology. I'm really quite harmless. I'm not set to go off.
No.
So seriously, one day I had a part-time job. I paid my own way through college. I had to work part-time, and I was walking on the hall of this place where I worked with this minor executive in the company, and he said, Russ, what's your major in college? And I said, psychology. And he said, oh, well, I guess I better never talk to you again. And he actually speeded up and walked about 4 paces ahead of me, and from that day, he never spoke to me again. Don't ask me why. Jerry, that was very nice. Thank you. Something I've always admired is musical talent. How many of this is the first time here? Raise your hand. How many have been here before? Once before? How many, those who have been here before, why don't you please stand? All right, and all those that have been here, go ahead, stand. Keep standing. All those who have been here more than once, stay standing. The rest of you sit down. Okay, those who have been here 3 times, stay standing. The rest sit down. 4 times? That's pretty good. Thank you. I'm just a little curious. Very good. You know, this old west setting and this country out here, and you probably saw the cover of the wagon down there. We've got a buggy someplace on the glen. It reminded me of the story of the fellow who took his girl out for a buggy ride back when that was in vogue, you know. And they are riding the countryside, and before long, the horse dropped dead just like that. You know, it's the old story of running out of gas, but it's older. So before long, the fellow kind of got the courage, and he said, how about a kiss? And the girl played dumb and said, what's that? And he said, what's that? Well, it's wonderful. It makes the world go round. It puts life in you. And she says, puts life in you? And he said, yes. He said, well, kiss the horse and let's go home. They could get worse. Hear the story about the fellow that a little baldness like I do, a little worse than me, and a fellow I knew, and he was constantly trying to find a way to hide his baldness. You know, men are pretty vain. And he tried the technique of combing his hair different directions. He put a part down the middle and tried that, and he put a part down each side, then crossways, and finally he settled on parting his hair from ear to ear. You know, and he'd comb this part forward, and he'd comb this part back. And he wore it that way for a long time, and finally, but then one day I saw Joe, and he had his old hairstyle back, you know, combed back. And I said, Joe, I thought you liked your old hairstyle. I mean, you know, why'd you change? He said, well, it was all right, but I got tired of people whispering in my nose. You want to get worse? No. We know most of you are tired. So this won't be long. What I intend to do tonight is to ask a couple questions and hopefully make you think about what's going to happen this next week. I'm sure you came here for reasons, and I hope that we can help you fulfill those reasons. Now, first of all, NAVCON says we make people work, we make them think. So I'm going to start right now. I want you to quickly think of the thing that you want most in life. What is it that would make you really feel great? That, boy, if you could get that would be it. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's clothes. Maybe it's belonging to a certain group at school. Maybe it's a certain job. Maybe it's money. Money can get you most things you want. At least we think that. And frequently, by the way, it's true. What is it you want? Okay, keep that in mind. Now let's turn, how many have your Bibles? Let's turn to Acts 3. And let's look over a story about a man who thought he knew what his need was. This is a fellow that he thought he knew what he wanted. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he, that's Peter, took him by the hand, right hand, lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he was leaping. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Interesting story. A beggar sitting at the temple gate. Well, what are alms? Money. Asking for gifts. That was his livelihood. He was crippled from birth. He was born a cripple. Never walked in his whole life. Didn't even know what walking was about, by the way. Never experienced it. Always had to be carried to wherever he went. And here he was sitting, asking for alms, as he did every day, apparently. And Peter and John were walking in, and he looked at them and kind of caught their attention, hoping to get a gift. And what did Peter say? He said, Well, I'm sorry. I don't have any money. But I'll give you what I've got. In the name of Christ, stand up and walk. Now, when I thought, read that passage, I thought, well, did that man really need money? No, he didn't need money. What did he need? He needed feet that would work. He needed feet that he could walk on. And God knew his need, and God gave it to him. Now the fellow thought he needed money. But he didn't. I bet he never got that excited over a gift of money as he did over the ability to walk. And I think this is a basic situation we find today. I went to a school that was pretty wild, the school of Gold, pretty liberal, let's use that word. I told Bob I majored in psychology and minored in picketing and rioting. Whenever you see signs of San Francisco, you know, pickets and so on, you can always be sure that most of it or a good part of it is from San Francisco State. In fact, when this Cuba deal was very popular, and I use that word, I mean to use that word, and students were going on to Cuba, remember a few years ago, they were going up to Canada and down to Cuba. There was in the front page, you know, in the article, picture of a fellow I knew, one of my classmates in psychology, bigger in life, picture from Cuba. So these people are really looking for something to satisfy them. But I know that they don't know what they need. Here's a quote. It says there's a God created vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator through Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that. There is a God-created vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator through Jesus Christ. Frenchman said that a few years ago. 300 years ago. That's right. People need fellowship with God. People need to know God, and they need to fellowship with Him. And this vacuum, this void, this emptiness that we keep trying to stuff cars, clothes, friends, girlfriends or boyfriends, or status into, this vacuum we keep trying to fill with all this other stuff, never really gets filled unless it's filled with Jesus Christ. Now, Earlier I said I hope that I indicated that I hope you'd have a good time here, an enjoyable time here. And I wonder why you came here, because basically we have only two things to offer. We, I mean the navigators, Bob Vedano and his crew and other fellows that work here on the Glen, the guys in the kitchen. Now we'll get some sports organized and this sort of thing. But basically all we have to offer are two things. First, our friendship. Secondly, fellowship with Christ. This is what John said in 1 John 1:3. We'll have to turn to it. 1 John, first chapter, third verse. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That's all we can do. That's all I can do. All I can do is tell you what I have seen and heard, or let's put it another way, all I can give you is my personal testimony of what I know through experience. I know that God loves me. I know that Christ died for me. I know that one day when I gave my life over to Christ, He changed my life, made me into a new creature, as the Bible says, a new person. I was born again, or I was born spiritually. I know that. I know you can have this opportunity if you haven't had it yet. I also know that I can live in daily fellowship with God. I know that because I do it. I know I can experience forgiveness of sin. I know I can experience peace, all of these things. That which we have seen and heard, that which we have experienced, we declare to you, so that ye also may, or so that you can have the opportunity of fellowship with us as Christians, if you're not Christians already, and also that you can have fellowship with God if you don't have fellowship with God already. John 10:10, Christ said that He promised an abundant life. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. Before that, He said, the thief cometh not, or referring to Satan, the thief doesn't come, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Satan's purpose is destruction. God's purpose is abundant living. Now, what's abundant living? You know, you've got a little bit. Abundant is a lot more. That's what Christ offers. A full, total, complete life. Now, let's go back again to that question I asked you when we first started. That item you thought of, that person or that car or that money, that bank account, that group, those grades, whatever it is, do you really think that that would satisfy you completely? You could wrap your life around that little item and that would be it? Or possibly, do you think you might be with that man or be comparable to that man at the Gate Beautiful, spoken about in Acts 3, we just read about, who thought he knew what he wanted, who thought he knew what he needed, but missed it? I bet that man never even occurred to him he could walk again. I bet he never even knew that he had the opportunity that was available to him. Now, the Christian life, I know when I was in high school, now, by the way, I grew up in the church. I don't know how many here are like that. I attended church all my life. In fact, I even used to sing solos when I was a kid. I had a tremendous falsetto voice. That ended. But all my life I attended church, but try as I might, and I mean try, with deadly sincerity and intense effort, I failed as a Christian. And the harder I tried, the more I failed. I was a total flop. And I had decided when I was a senior in high school that Christianity was a fake. Nobody knew that. I didn't tell anybody that. But as far as I was concerned, it was impossible to lead the Christian life. And as soon as I was finished with high school, I was going to go to college someplace or go in the service and forget the whole thing. But then I ran across a group of young people my own age who were leading the Christian life. And I decided, if they can, it must be possible. Now, I discovered from this group that I first of all needed to know Christ personally, and secondly, I needed to trust Him. And of course, you develop this trust through the Word of God, through knowing the Bible. Now, talking to people about becoming Christians, or talking to people about leading the Christian life, they frequently say, well, I'm too weak. I can't do it. Now, Matthew 17:20, Christ said, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, how big is a grain of mustard seed? Pretty small. Some people have them in bracelets, you know, little enclosed in plastic. They're just about like that, you know. Not very big. There are smaller seeds, by the way, but not very big. So if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. How many have ever tried to move a mountain? How many? Ever tried to move a mountain? I have. One day I said, all right, I'll see. Move! It didn't move. It just stayed right there. There it was. Well, I really did that, by the way. I'm really a nut. That's why I'm majoring in psychology. Now, I concluded something from that. I decided that God hadn't intended me to go into the excavating business. Excavating, you know, moving mountains. In San Francisco, I live in my home is built in the middle of a mountain, or where a mountain used to be. They move mountains there for homes. You know, land is very valuable there in California, especially in San Francisco. In fact, in San Francisco, there is not a vacant lot in the city. You can imagine that. Nowhere is there a vacant lot. Well, to build my home, they had this deep ravine, you know, it went way down, and this huge mountain. They just kind of pushed half the mountain into the ravine. And my house was built where the mountain used to be. Well, God didn't intend for me to do that. Nor you. But the point is here is it doesn't take much faith to go a long way. The faith, the amount of faith that granted must receive. I was sitting in a friend's home a few months ago, and there was a record playing in the background. This fellow was singing about some great men of the Bible, Abraham and Moses and so on, Daniel, and how they had faith like steel, strong as iron, strong as steel. I thought, well, that really isn't true. You don't need faith as strong as steel. All you need is a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, let me demonstrate this. Turn again to Mark, chapter 9. Now, do you have a problem? Do you want to lead a Christian life? But can't? Have you tried and failed? Or are there certain areas that no matter what you do, you just can't get the victory over them? No matter how hard you try. All right? Here's a man that came to Christ with a son that was possessed with a demon. He'd throw himself in the water, he'd throw himself in the fire. It probably broke this father's heart to see his son being treated this way by Satan. But the son had no control. And the man in Luke 9:22, the man came to Christ and said, help me. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Christ said, if you can believe, you can do anything. Now, in psychology, you talk about identifying with people or identifying with things, and I re-identify with this man, what he said next, the 24th verse. This man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He said, Lord, I have just enough faith, I believe just enough to be able to come to you and say, help me. That's all I've got. That's all I've got. Now, help my unbelief. He's saying, Lord, all I've got to do, all I have is the faith of a mustard seed, so to speak. That's all I've got. Now, I've got to rely on you for the rest. That's me. I'm basically, as far as a Christian goes, I'm still basically a failure, by the way. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the fact that I can turn to God every day and say, Lord, help me, that I'm in Christian life. Now, this man said this personally to Christ, but I'm going to suggest that each one of us tonight say it to Christ in a prayer. We'll close here in about 2 minutes. I told you it'd be short. But that prayer takes, pardon the expression, guts. Testimonial fortitude is relief. It takes a little bit of courage to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm coming to you for help. I'm asking you to help my unbelief, to supply the rest, supply what I lack. This week, you're going to hear somebody who's going to teach the Bible. You're going to stand up here and talk about the scriptures and explain them. This week, you're going to get some practical suggestions on certain aspects of your Christian life, like Bible study and victory, prayer life, ministry, devotional life. This week, you can leave here with some good ideas, with a good start on leading the Christian life back home. But what you leave here with is strictly up to you. No matter how good speaker Bob Vedano is or Jack Holt is, they can't communicate to you. They can't share them with you unless you want them to. So I would suggest now that each of us bow our head and bow our head. Now, I'm not asking for a dedication. Well, I'm not asking for an emotional experience. All I'm saying is let's honestly tell God that we have a need, if we have one. Let's honestly tell him that we think he can help us and that we want him to this week. Father, we do pray that from this group there will be people who will be serving you in the future, serving you in their schools, in their jobs, around the world, glorifying your name and honoring you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.